Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for today's show. My very special guest is Anne Barham, and we're going to be talking about her new book, The Past Life Perspective, Discovering Your True Nature Across Multiple Lifetimes. A unique, insightful, and practical look into the enormous power of past life regression therapy to unlock healing pathway that can help you resolve enduring personal issues, enrich your life, and answer burning spiritual questions about your purpose on this earth. In this rare, fascinating, intimate glimpse at past life regression therapy, licensed therapist Anne Barham invites us into her office as she helps her clients mine their unconscious memories for the key past life experiences that can provide specific guidance for their current situations. No longer simply the stuff of New Age practitioners, past life regression therapy is a powerful tool that can improve your understanding of your personal challenges and deepen your connection with the world around you. Anne is a licensed marriage and family therapist and certified regression therapist with training in interpersonal psychology, hypnosis, therapeutic imagery, and trauma. Unique and original, Anne blends psychology and spirituality in a way that speaks to many craving alternative therapies. For more information, you can visit her website, which is www.pastlives.org, and I do have a direct link to Anne's website in the show page description. So that, I'd like to welcome Anne to the show. Good day, Anne.
Hi, Robert. Happy to be on the show.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to our discussion today. This is a topic that many of my listeners are very open to hearing about. And as a matter of fact, I just got an email from someone probably 2 days ago that was asking about regression therapy. So I sent them the link and said, you know, I said, listen in and then buy the book, and then you'll find out all you need to know.
There you go.
Okay. Well, listen, by the way, I do want to let listeners know that at the moment we're experiencing issues with the chat room, so I'm going to go ahead and continue to try to open up that chat room as we can, but just to let you know, we are having technical difficulties in that area. So let's start with Anne. What drew you to studying and practicing past life regression?
Oh, that's always a fun question to talk about. You know, since way back, even as a child, although I was raised in a conventional Christian household, there were just certain things that appealed to me that were outside that conventional upbringing. And I did a lot of study when I was an adolescent and got drawn to Eastern religions. And really, the whole idea of reincarnation just made sense to me. So when I was in graduate school studying to be a counselor, I went the conventional route. I got my license. I had a practice using, you know, more conventional techniques. And somewhere along the line, I kind of got this message of, there's something else for you to be doing here. And it turned out that the two big names in past life work at the time, this was quite a few years ago now, hosted week-long trainings at a retreat center very close to my home. So it was one of those, you know, the universe provides. And, and then I just started experimenting with this with, you know, friends, family, and then started using it with clients. And what I found, the things that I love about doing regression work are, number one, that we can get to the source of issues that have been really resistant to resolution with many other techniques and many conventional counseling techniques, and we can get to them often in one single session. And unlock this dynamic that's gotten stuck and release people from this, from these negative patterns and habits that they've been troubled with. So that's one thing, is we can work really fast and very effectively. And then another wonderful aspect of it is incorporating the whole spiritual aspect to our existence, which, again, conventional counseling for many years was kind of like, no, we don't go there. We don't touch that so much. But this is a way of really getting an experience of your eternal being, your eternal nature as expressing across multiple lifetimes and finding the connections with people who are important to you now that you've been with in the past, and realizing that those connections go on beyond death, many other spiritual aspects. And then on top of that, the other thing that's really fun is that this is something that appeals to a lot of people that would never consider themselves in need of counseling in general, but they use this for exploring and expanding and really getting a whole new perspective on life on Earth.
Yeah, that's true. Now, one of the things, do you think, well, it seems lately that there's a lot more exposure and much more openness about, you know, the idea of past lives and reincarnation, and I can just recall there's, you know, a popular TV show that has kids talking about, you know, their past life recall, and do you think that is it getting just more, is it being more talked about, or do you think that there's maybe an increase in the the unassisted recall that people seem to be having sometimes with their past lives?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think it's definitely, we're coming into another time period where people are more open to hearing about this. They're more interested. And I think we've really noticed in general is that, you know, the faster the pace of our life gets and the more technology and the more isolated we become from each other with all of our technology, that people are more and more questioning these deeper issues of, you know, what really is the meaning of life? What are we doing here? What is the point and the purpose? What are we trying to accomplish as human beings? And so they start reaching and searching in areas that might be a little beyond the old conventional box. And looking into reincarnation and prior lifetimes is one of those areas that really yields to that. It's sort of an excellent place to go. So I think part of it is just kind of the general consciousness is expanding and moving, and hopefully our planet is evolving to a little better place. Even though a lot of what's going on right now doesn't make it look that way. But I think hopefully we're on a positive trajectory nonetheless. And so these kinds of approaches can be really helpful than that. And I think then maybe as a result, also more people may be coming in who have maybe, you know, the kind of the veil between the physical world and the spiritual world is a little thinner for these people, and they are actually able to get their own spontaneous memories more easily. So I think that, you know, they kind of go hand in hand, the fact that our consciousness hopefully is evolving some, and the kind of the new people coming in are more adept.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. And because I've just noticed, you know, that it just seems to be such a increased amount of conversation about it, you know, and I remember the days when you started talking about it and everybody would chuckle. It's like, oh, you know,
well, exactly.
look what you're talking about.
20 years ago or more, you know, when Shirley MacLaine came out with her book Out on a Limb, that was really kind of a pretty big joke in a lot of circles. But the truth is now, you know, it's much more accepted, and it's even just kind of in our kind of common vernacular more now. You know, people totally recognize deja vu experiences, and they, you know, they'll kind of joke about, well, in my prior life, I was, you know, XYZ, or so it's just becoming more accepted.
Yeah. Now, is every, now regarding past life regression therapy, is are there people who are, can anyone benefit from these, or are there people who are maybe more easily access those memories than others?
Yeah, definitely. It's like with any skill, there's different people have a wide range as far as their abilities. However, I keep some pretty thorough statistics from my good old business background, and 85% of the people that come see me who have never done this kind of work before, they come in and they're very, very successful getting prior life. The other 15% or so that kind of fall into a couple categories, and one is they're just too anxious in their normal daily life to really relax, and my approach does require a certain level of relaxation ability in order to go into the unconscious memories. So they'll fall into that category, and then sometimes people come in with wanting to work on an issue, and it actually turns out that it's not about prior life so much as it's really about something in their current life, that either something that happened in childhood or an issue that they haven't really worked on in their current life. And so that's where we end up going instead. I always trust that people's higher knowledge knows how, where they need to go. And if it wouldn't serve them to go past life right now, then they won't, and instead will end up going to perhaps some traumatic issue in childhood that needs to be worked through. But the grand majority of people, at least that come see me, are able to retrieve this kind of information. And that might be a little bit self-selecting as far as, these are the people that come see me. So they're they're on board with the concept and probably have already done a certain amount of work on themselves so that they're used to being able to go within and being able to, kind of take a step back from themselves and be a little more analytical.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure, that database that are the people who come to you, that is coming. You have a subset of people who are at least open to the idea. I mean, they're obviously coming to you. So that openness, I'm sure. But when I was reading your book, I read that statistic that you had about the database, and I was impressed. I thought, this is someone who takes a very careful look. And to me, that shows because there are a lot of skeptics out there. And if you're able to demonstrate, empirically, the results, then it makes it easier for people to recognize, if I can't do it, then maybe I'm just in that, 14 or 15% that, is either too anxious or for whatever reason. Yeah.
Or it might just be a certain time in your life where you're not able to do it, and it doesn't mean that you can't do it later. I had one client come in recently. It was a young man who was only 19 years old, and his first session, it was more kind of therapeutic imagery, where it was more just metaphorical imagery that came up, and we worked with that. He still wanted to come back and do another session, so he came back about a week and a half later, and we went past life in that one. So sometimes it takes a try or two, because you also have to realize that these are, it's kind of like new muscles that people haven't used before, and you can't necessarily lift the 100-pound weight, right, the first time. So you might have to build up to it a little bit, but truly I have found that I've often been amazed at how quickly people are able to go into the past life material and access it. Sometimes there'll be people that I'm kind of sitting there myself going, I don't think this one's going to work. And into it, just like that. So, so much for my predictive abilities.
Well, that's okay. Well, it's just one of those things. I'm sure it's such a unique individual, kind of interaction that, I mean, you just never know. And like you say, timing. I mean, if they're ready for it to be, the information to be accessed and to be worked on and evaluated, then it's going to come up. And if they're not,
exactly.
It's not.
Yeah, and what's interesting is I'll get a number of people that will come in to see me and they'll say, you know, I've been thinking about doing this for 15 years or 20 years. Or I had a gal the other day that said, 30 years ago, some friends of mine had some regression sessions and I wanted to do it then. But I was pregnant, so I didn't think it would be a good idea. So for the past 30 years, I've been waiting to do a session and I'm finally going to do it. So it's like somewhere along the line, if it's the right thing for you to be doing, it'll all of a sudden come together and you'll just decide, okay, I'm doing this now. So, definitely.
Now, I'd like to talk about some of the issues, the current life issues that past life regression can assist with. And let's start with some of the, I guess, the more challenging aspects, and that would be, you know, if someone has, you know, compulsive or addictive types of behaviors, is that, how would that work with being able to address those kinds of behaviors?
You're right. That would be, you know, one of the more challenging areas because often with addictive behaviors, there's a physical hook in to that, especially if it's a substance abuse problem or something like that. And so you would not say, oh, I'll just go do a past life session and it'll fix this addiction. You would have to also be working, you know, some sort of program on your addiction in the current time.
Right.
However, doing past life work can really at times help understand some of where this came from or a pattern that's gotten quite entrenched. And by seeing an origin in a prior lifetime, it helps that sense of guilt often that sometimes keeps the addiction locked in. And it also just kind of releases perhaps the energy that's kind of kept someone hooked in or stuck. So, for instance, I had a gal who a while back who was having some real problem with her drinking. And she wanted to do a session to just see if there was any past life link to that drinking issue that she had. And we went to a lifetime. It was the Roaring Twenties. She was in England, but she was essentially a flapper party girl. And she, you know, spent her whole time partying all the time. And she had a couple opportunities to kind of leave that life and marry and settle down, but she decided not to. And as she got older, she, you know, she couldn't quite be the same flapper girl anymore, but she had never made any real strong connections. And she just kind of devolved in that lifetime into, you know, being in her home and drinking a lot and ended up dying pretty unhappily without a lot of human connections. And so it seems that this individual, this client, had carried some of those patterns and issues forward into the current life to resolve them because they never were really dealt with and resolved in the prior lifetime. And that seems to be a lot of what drives when we carry things forward from a prior life, which is, you know, similar to things we carry forward from our childhood and our current life that we work with more in conventional counseling. It's just the fact that if we have this unfinished business, we have these lessons that we were here to learn, we had things that we were meant to master, and we didn't do it, then guess what? We'll get the opportunity to do it again. And we'll repeat till we have worked through and mastered that issue.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that was, you know, there was one point in your book that you talked about the loss of a loved, sometimes that the loss of a loved one is not processed in the lifetime in which it occurred. You know, and,
yeah.
you know, And to me, it's what's really interesting is I have a dear friend who I've known for probably about 5 years or so. Literally 1 week ago today, I was sitting with her for like a 3 hour. We were in a meeting, you know, sat next to each other for years. And 3 hours mm-hmm. each night, we would always talk and have a good time. Last Monday, we did that. And then the Tuesday morning, I found out she had passed. I mean, and it was yes. I mean, and you know, tonight's meeting is going to be very unusual. But I mean, it was one of those things where, and then I went to see her husband, you know, the day after, and I mean, he was just, I mean, the heartbreak was just unimaginable. I mean, it was just, you could tell he was broken, you know, and then, you know, reading in, you know, that particular one, that line in your book about that, you know, to me, it seems like this is going to be one of those cases where, you know, that sudden loss is going to be, kind of be an indelible mark for both of them.
Yeah, depending on how well he processes and does his grief work in this lifetime. He may indeed, you know, carry some of this forward if he, you know, gets a lot of help to work through the grief and is real present with himself in that, which is hard for us to do because our society doesn't really support that real well. But if he has the presence of mind to do that, he may not carry that forward. But very often, like people that come to me to work on issues of depression or guilt or something like that, we will go to prior lives where they had significant loss of some sort that was never really recovered from. And they died still very sad or feeling like it was their fault that, you know, perhaps someone had died or those kinds of things. And they then bring that forward and end up being, you know, just depressed seemingly for no reason in the current life. So by unlocking that old trauma, that old loss, and working it through, then they're able to release that and move forward more freely in the current life.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things, obviously, the past life regression therapy can do is help us with these challenging things, these things that are, you know, maybe behaviors that we're, you know, we deal with in this particular lifetime, or phobias even that we deal with in this lifetime. But is there a benefit to looking back and looking at some of the positive aspects of previous lifetimes, you know, that would maybe help this one?
Yeah, actually, that's a whole other area, and for me as a therapist, this can get really fun when we're not so much working on problem solving as much as working on expanding or, you know, kind of a path of discovery and opening up. So some of the things that past life work can be really helpful for is perhaps looking for, you know, what is my life purpose this lifetime? Am I on the right track? Do I need to adjust course? And we can get a lot of really good input on that for people. People will come in and just want to do more spiritual exploration and really be able to plug into that sense of their ongoing eternal being and being able to plug into what it's like to really access higher guidance for themselves, because one of the stages in my therapy process is after people have gone through their death in the prior lifetime, then we're in this spiritual space where we call in higher guidance for them, and they get some wonderful, amazing messages, and we have a lot of that in the book. It's really fun. And what that also does for people is helps them, many, many clients say that they lost their fear of death entirely after going through the past life session, because it's kind of similar to having a near-death experience without having all the trauma that's usually involved with a near-death experience. So I kind of call it a virtual near-death experience, because you are going through death, but it's in the prior life, and you know, you're not having necessarily the pain and the anguish. But that they do experience their beingness continuing past death, and they realize they are still aware, they're experiencing, and they inevitably end up in a place that is, feels wonderful, is full of love and peace and all that kind of thing. And it's, they go to this place where they don't want to leave, which is very typical of people, what people report who've had near-death experiences. So to really plug into that, and the thing is, it's different to hear about it or even read about it from someone else than to experience it yourself. And that's part of the power of doing the past life regression work is, you know, it's like you can go to a psychic and have a psychic tell you what your past lives were, and that can be a little bit helpful. But when you actually, when these are memories coming from your own consciousness, you're re-experiencing them in session and feeling the feelings and going through the experiences and then actually being with your awareness as you die and as you continue, there's just a whole different impact from having that experience yourself. So that's part of the power of doing this kind of work.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be, and NDE light without the pain would be my kind
exactly,
of
that's
my kind of
one of the other real positive things that that we can do with past life work is plug people into their ongoing connections with people in their life now, be they alive or already passed on. So I do have a lot of clients that come in that are, you know, really willing to explore relationship dynamics. And it's not always that they're problematic relationships. It just could be, you know, I just love my daughter so much. I want to see when we were together before. And they can reconnect in prior lives and see the patterns and the dynamics and really realize, like, wow, we are indeed such, you know, kind of in tune with each other that lifetime after lifetime we want to be together, and it's wonderful. It's like kind of a love fest that we do. So we have those kind of things that are just really wonderful to explore as well.
Yeah, you know, those that really adds support to the intuitive feelings that people have when you meet others, you know, that either that positive draw or even the repulsion, the negative aspect
exactly.
about, you know, meeting people could easily kind of relate back to that. So, well, gosh, and we're already halfway through the show, so I want to take just a quick 90-second break. And I do want to invite listeners, if you'd like to call in, the number is 619-789-4359. And if you have any questions that you'd like to ask Anne, feel free to call in. And then, Anne, when we come back, I would love, if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners what maybe were some of the revelations or your personal experience of your past lives that you may want
to
share with the listeners. Okay? Okay. Great. Okay, everyone. Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back in about 90 seconds. Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.biteradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Ann Barham, and we're talking about her new book, The Past Life Perspective, Discover Your True Nature Across Multiple Lifetimes. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.pastlives.org. And again, there is a direct link to that website in the show page description. So with that, we're back, Ann.
Yep, I'm here.
Very great. Okay. Oh, and I do want to let listeners know that the chat room is now open, so feel free to join in there. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in, and we'll get them to Ann. So Ann, let's, if you wouldn't mind sharing, I would be really curious to hear what some of your experiences with your past lives have been.
Sure. Well, I happen to be one of those people whose body tends to carry some past life experiences. And I share some of these stories in my book, but some I didn't. And one of the key ones was I had issues with my feet for some years, but I had what were called rotated hammer toes, which are your little toes kind of lying on its side and going under the toe next to it, and was becoming a problem for me in my actually wearing my riding boots when I rode my horse and when I was playing tennis. And so I actually had surgery, and they, you know, cut the bone and rotated the toe up and did all this, did a bunch of ultrasound, and I was still having problems, and it was getting really frustrating. So I went through regression, and I ended up going to a lifetime where my feet were bound. I was a young Asian woman, and my feet were bound, and I was rather rebellious and decided to run away and got caught, and, you know, it turned into this big deal and dishonored the family and all that. And while I was going through this progression, my legs were shaking uncontrollably the whole time. So it was this, there was this energy stored in my legs from that experience on some, I don't know how it works, but there it was. And from that day forward, zero problem with my feet. It was one of these kind of miraculous healings, almost in a way, by releasing that past life energy. And so occasionally you'll see that with physical symptoms, but it's certainly not, you know, something that happens necessarily that often. But apparently it also worked that way with another injury I had where not all that long ago, I blew out my elbow playing tennis, and then my shoulder became frozen, so I couldn't really lift. So, and this happened right after my daughter went off to college, and it was very frustrating for me because I stay healthy and sane by playing tennis, and so I couldn't do that, and I was stuck for about a year not being able to play. And finally, it was like, duh, maybe I should go see if there's some past life link on this. You know, it's kind of like the plumber that never fixes his plumbing. Well, I'm the past life therapist, but it doesn't always occur to me that I should go do that for myself. So I went and did that, and I went to a lifetime where I was like a minor lord of a manor type thing. And my wife had passed away some years ago, and so I had my one and only daughter who was sort of my emotional support and connection, and she was leaving to go to study somewhere or something. And being, a rather reserved man, I couldn't express to her how upset I was that she was going, and went off riding on my horse with my hawk on my arm without any escort. And because I was riding recklessly, being, you know, kind of angry and upset, I actually had an accident and fell and severely injured my shoulder. And, survived that, got back, and was able to then express to my daughter at the time that I was really sorry that she was leaving and all that kind of thing. And a week after having that regression, all of a sudden my shoulder loosened up in the current life. So it was like, for some reason, my body seems to respond to issues, and that I'm able to release those by doing some past life work. So that they're always some pretty interesting stories that way. Some other things that I've experienced with my own prior lifetimes comes up often when I travel internationally. And this is one of the things that people can kind of get a clue for themselves of where they maybe had some prior life experience will be the places that you really want to travel to, or that when you go there, you just feel right away at home, or you have a really big emotional reaction to being in that place. So this happens for me when I travel sometimes. I have reactions that kind of knock me off my feet. So I had that happen when I was traveling in Egypt. And I always had a sense that, you know, I knew I had some significant ancient Egypt energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was always something I was fascinated with, and I was into the mythology and all this. And but when I was in Egypt, I was at the temple at Karnak, and it was kind of like I had this major out-of-body, incredible meditation where I just felt like I was totally transported and plugged into some whole other experience that was going on for me. And, you know, if all these other tourists are wandering around and I'm sitting there just kind of like, whoa, what is going on here? But it's knocking me off my feet. And then when I was at the Red Sea, I actually felt sick because I felt like I had so much energy coming through and so much information that was kind of downloading. And then when I was in Alexandria, I was feeling dizzy all the time. So there just was a lot going on for me traveling in Egypt that to me said that, you know, that I was really plugging into certain past life issues. And it puts a whole different aspect on some of your travels when you're just kind of keeping your antenna out to see what, you know, what might come up.
Mm-hmm.
I've had clients who, you know, traveled somewhere, and I had a gal who told me that, you know, I went to Paris a couple of years ago and I never even looked at a guidebook, never been there before, but I knew exactly where everything was. She said, I knew how to get to everything I wanted to see. I just completely, you know, she had it down pat. And, you know, it's like, wow, what other explanation would you have for that? So those are, you know, some of the types of things that I've run into with some of my own work.
Yeah, I know. I have a very good friend who had gone to London. She's from Columbia, South Carolina, who had recently gone to London like last year and has been back like multiple times since, because there was just such an affinity for that I'm sure that there was a time for her there. Now, you mentioned the one about the shoulder and kind of going back to that past life. Is it... it seems like that, you know, there was this, you know, the daughter leaving kind of triggering that kind of response. Is that common? I mean, or is that something that we can kind of, you know, maybe be on the lookout for if something suddenly appears out of nowhere?
Such a great point that you make, that very often these things kind of lie dormant until either sometimes it'll be we hit the age at which a trauma happens in a prior life, and all of a sudden it gets activated for us at the same age, or there's an event that triggers it. So for me, it was, okay, my one and only daughter is leaving for college, and so that kind of triggers the reaction. Or you might run into a person who maybe was involved in the prior lifetime, and then all of a sudden So it's very often that there can be some sort of triggering event, especially when it is something that, you know, kind of changes the pattern of what was going on for you, and boom, all of a sudden I have this issue, and where did this come from? And so, yeah, that's an excellent point that you make.
Great. Now, In your book, just to let the listeners know, in your book you have examples, stories you share. Of course, names change and that kind of thing, but the stories are real. Now, one of the things that you talk about is that the stories are real, but there's also a difference between, quote, real and factual. Now, you know, and I know that a lot of times people will that unless you can prove it by fact, that they sometimes think it's not real. So can you talk a little bit to that, the idea of something being real versus factual? And
Well, in the whole past life reincarnation world, there's kind of two areas that people specialize in. And one of them is like what I do, which is the therapeutic side of it. It's like using this technique, taking people to prior lifetimes because it helps them. It's therapeutic. Then there's the whole other group that are into more of the research where they're trying to prove. And there are actually, you know, a variety of interesting books where people especially work with children who have spontaneous memories and they do research and they're actually trying to factually prove, well, that there is no other explanation for this other than this child is remembering a prior lifetime. So I'm on a, I don't care if I can prove it, although I do, I do, you know, because for me, I'm looking at, does this help people? And I get a resounding yes. So it's whether or not it's completely factual doesn't matter so much to me. But I have had clients that have done research into the prior life that came up that, you know, we got enough identifying information that they're actually able to go check it out and they have actually validated some of the information that they've gotten. So there is that point of factual that, that has been validated. But the difference between the factual and the real, I mean, it's like we're dealing with human memory. We're dealing with unconscious memory as opposed to conscious memory. But even with our conscious memories of things that have happened to us, even maybe 2 weeks ago, very often we don't quite have the facts straight. Like I might remember it differently than my husband remembers it. And we could have a big argument about who's right. But what's really important is to look at what did it mean to me? What was real about that interaction for me? How do I carry it? And that's what I look at with the past life work is what was the meaning of this experience? What decisions were made as a result? Is this something that's impacting you in your current life? You know, how does it relate? And it was a real experience for that individual, whether or not it's entirely factual or that they got 100% of the facts right. So, I mean, I usually ask clients when we're in session what year it is. I try to just kind of anchor it in somewhere in history. And maybe they get the year right, maybe they don't. But it's not that important, but it just kind of helps us get the setting. But, you know, gee, what if they're 5 years off? I don't think it really matters. And what we're looking at is the reality of the experience for the individual that had it.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you're so right. You know, when it comes to our individual recall of events, you know, as time passes, what we remember and those kind of things do shift. Now, there was that one story in your book about the gentleman who had a past life in Vietnam. And he apparently did some research afterwards and was able to verify some of the facts that came out in his session, correct?
Exactly. And we're still hoping, I'm still in touch with him, and we're still hoping that someone who reads the book might actually recognize the individual that that we believe he was and get in touch with me so that we could actually, he would love to connect with what he considers his former family, and really be able to share that. So that would be just really awesome if that came up.
That would be great. That would be great. Now, with him, you know, a lot of that started are involved dreams. And one of the things that you indicate in your book that it's sometimes common for past life information to emerge in our dreams. So I would love if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners, how does that happen? How would, I love dreaming. I'm one of these that I'm a vivid dreamer, lucid dreamer. I document all of them. But how would someone who, remembers or recalls a dream, how would they kind of look at it as possibly being a past life kind of experience?
Right. So the clues on that would particularly be if you have a recurring dream. That seems to be really intense or very vivid, or there's you keep dreaming of a certain place or a certain person that they just kind of keep recurring and you really connect with it, that could be a clue that you're pulling in some past life material. I had a dream. It was a single dream, but it was incredibly powerful, where when I woke up, I remembered that I was on a witness stand and I was on trial for something. And I was saying, my name is Alexandra, and I can't remember the last name. But I just felt so identified with that character. And that actually came up then in a past life regression that I did when I was training, actually, where I did go to this lifetime where I was on trial for being a healer, and and the conventional medical practitioners of the day were kind of accusing me of witchcraft and this and that, and I was on trial, and that was so that had come through initially in this dream that I had. So those are the kind of things that you would look for, is those intense dreams are the ones where you kind of wake up and you for a while you can't even tell, did that happen or not? Those are just some of the things that you can kind of look out for and kind of invite yourself to explore a little bit the possibility that that's prior life material coming through.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, as a matter of fact, last night, my waking dream this morning was I was booked at one particular place to be a singer in an event, and then it was Orion was the place, and I thought okay, and then I ended up my second booking was for New York, someplace in New York on New Year's Eve, and I woke up thinking now I can't carry a tune in a bucket, so I left with this was either a past life or an alternate uh-huh. dimension, one or the other. Had no basis in this current reality. But one of the things that I also kind of want to talk about is that, first of all, in your book, we mentioned you have stories, but also at the end of each story, you have things called the truths.
Essential truths.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah, the idea being that, the point in delving into these prior lifetimes for people is to learn things, and that often our life experiences, one of the things that I do is try to identify what were the life lessons that came out of that experience. What did this client bring forward from that? And very often, and one of the reasons I ended up writing the book was I realized that these were essential truths that were pretty applicable to all of us when you boil mm-hmm. it down. And so with each story, I just tried to extract out at the end, to reiterate. So here's the things, the key lessons from that lifetime. So, you'll get things like truly following your heart instead of giving in to pressure from others, or, knowing that your spiritual connection is a resource that's always available to you, or the value of family, or the fact that love is really the only thing that counts in the end. So it's there's a variety of lessons that come out of each story that all of us can take to heart. And then after that, I also included exercises and things that readers could use to either enhance their own awareness of possible prior lifetimes for themselves, or just things that help advance their general consciousness and awareness.
Yeah, yeah. Those are called expanding your perspective. I liked those. Those were, you know, those to me. Yeah, to me it was, first of all, when I read the truth at the end, what I found interesting is that, you know, even though I did not have that same, obviously the same personal experience as the individual in the story, but I could find in my life where those truths were, where they played out. What were the scenes in my life that these truths were played out?
Right.
And I think that's a valuable aspect to the book. And then the expanding your perspective. There was one I really loved, and it was the one there was, I'm not sure, I think it was the weighty issues story that at the very end there was a thing about the idea of self-definition and connection, the idea between those two areas,
yes,
and how delicate a balance that is in the life. Because
right.
I think, you know, that, you know, those of us who try to build that connection, you know, but also we have to recognize that we are, you know, unique individual piece, you know, that we're still a part of, and that we're still experiencing, that we need to also keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that is, I think that's a classic human dyad there almost, is how much do I self-define and be the individual and not compromise and be in my integrity, and how much do I ease some of that in order to be connected with others? And, you know, we end up on various places on that. It's a balancing act, and finding that right place for yourself. And in different lifetimes, we'll be in different places on that. So we may have a lifetime where being connected and home and family and being a part and belonging is absolutely essential. And then we may have a lifetime where we're the adventurer and we got to go out there and do what we're going to do, and we may leave everyone behind because we have to express this certain part of who we are. But most of us seem to be somewhere in the middle of that. So, yeah, finding that balance.
Yeah, there was one of your clients that had a past life experience that they called it a resting lifetime. You know, the things kind of flowed smoothly.
Right.
And I thought, oh, wow, that sounds great. I'll have one of those, please.
Yes, exactly. And it's true that, you know, mostly people come to me because there's something that's not working exactly in their lives, and so we're going to some pretty traumatic lifetimes. And of course, the stories in the book are I selected to be some of the more interesting, more dramatic stories. But I did want to share the fact that, yes, sometimes we actually just have these wonderful, happy, peaceful lives. And I call them kind of resting lifetimes because it's just, you can just kind of relax into it. And, you know, some of the most lovely lifetimes that I've visited with clients sometimes have been Native American lifetimes before the white man arrived. Wonderful, wonderful, in harmony with nature. Not easy lives, you know, they had to struggle sometimes for existence and having enough to eat, and there might even be some warring tribes, but just that connection that they felt and the community that there was with their individual group and the pace of life and being in concert with all of that would just sometimes very exquisite lifetimes.
Yeah, that sounds great. I just kind of chuckled when I read that one. It's like, okay, I'm going to put that one on my list for next time around. But well, guess we're toward the end of the show, Anne. So I would love for you to share. You know, what is it that you hope? I mean, you're going to have people out there who are believers, who believe in the reincarnation and past lives and that kind of thing, and then there're going to be those who are skeptics. So what do you hope that each of those groups will take away from reading your book? Will they be the same thing or maybe something different?
Yeah. Well, people that already believe, I think what I'd like them to get, number one, is just to be entertained, because I do think that the stories are very entertaining. But beyond that, to kind of broaden their idea of how rich delving into your prior lifetimes can be. I was doing a book signing yesterday, and I had people saying to me, you know, I've believed in past lives forever and all that, but I never really realized how much I could get out of actually exploring them more and how they may be affecting me in ways that I could actually resolve or enrich my life. So I think that's what, you know, for people that already are converted, I would like them to get that and just see the potential that there is also to just live more consciously when we're in touch with the possibilities of our prior life connections with others and things like that. And I think for the non-believer or the person who's a skeptic, if they can just entertain the possibility that, there could be something here, who knows, but the thing is they don't have to believe in order for these stories to be very useful and valuable. They're like parables in a way. If you want to treat them that way, that they're great teaching lessons about universal truths no matter what, whether they're really past lives or just very rich metaphors that the clients come up with when they're in session, it's still pretty fascinating to see how the stories unfold, how they relate to the current issues in the client's life, and what the important lessons are that come through that really can apply to all of us about how to live a more fulfilled and love-filled and connected life. So, belief isn't really required.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think it was in the closing of the book, there was that a parable about religious belief, and you know, and the idea was is if you know the beliefs made the person a better person, led a better life, you know, mm-hmm. a more richer, fuller life, then it really doesn't matter as long as you know that was
exactly.
the result.
Yeah, you know, and maybe when we all die, we can all sit down together and kind of laugh about all the different beliefs that we had.
I'm sure. You're going to go up and say, what the heck? What was I thinking? Yeah. Well, Anne, this has really been a delight. I really want to thank you very much for taking the time to share with us. I really enjoyed the book and the stories. They were really good. And again, the truths and the perspectives, expanding your perspectives is a wonderful way for the readers to be able to apply those lessons and actually be able to examine their life a little bit more and maybe make it a little bit better.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you, Robert. I really enjoyed talking with you.
It is my pleasure. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Anne Barham. We've been talking about her new book called The Past Life Perspective, Discovering Your True Nature Across Multiple Lifetimes. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.pastlives.org. And again, there is a direct link to her website in the show page description. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.